Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK, be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things, little food for your soul, man. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things, tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Four Things Podcast. Amy here. And I thought I was going to have an interview for you today, but my guests had to reschedule. So you got me for all four things, but I feel like I've got some good stuff for you. We're going to talk about sitting with anxiety. I've also got some things to do at night for possibly a better night's sleep. I have four things that I'm going to recommend for you, something that I'm adding into the podcast here and there, just things that I am using or loving or you are asking a lot about when I post something. And then lastly, I have a tip for manners. If you happen to be a parent, you're going to want to listen to this one for sure.
First thing. That's right. Yeah.
All right. So first thing, sitting with anxiety. My friend Lisa Haim, who I co-host Outway with, and she has her own podcast called The Truthiest Life. I've shared her newsletters with you often because, gosh, they're just so good. And I get them in my email and then I read over them and I'm like, oh, this is something that I want to share with my listeners because I think it's of value for sure. So this is the newsletter that Lisa sent out and it was titled Sitting with Anxiety. Lisa said, I woke up on Monday with a real funky visit from Ann Z, what I sometimes call my old friend, anxiety. I could feel Ann in my tightened tummy, shallow breath, and continuous reach for the cell phone and repeated opening of the same apps I needed nothing to do with. Let me stop right here and be clear about one thing. My goal is to not cure or rid myself of Anne. We're in this life together, and I don't think it's possible, nor is it the best method of trying to control the beast, although this was once my approach. My goal is to avoid aggravating her and perhaps use methods of anxiety management to tame her the best I can, or perhaps learn why she's paying me this visit. So I'm going to share with you my plan that I use if you too are having a visit from Anne. Number one, break from the plan. I wanted to share something on Instagram that I felt called to share with yesterday. The message is important, but the timing is also key. This can wait, I reminded my busy brain. An action for you. Is there something in your life that can wait that you're adding urgency to for no reason? Can you take something off your plate even if it was planned for today? Thing two, avoid caffeine. I'm not having caffeine in pregnancy. Okay, fine, I'm having decaf, which has a little, but I suggest if you're having anxiety to avoid caffeine the best you can or at least skip the second cup. Action for you. Begin to feel how caffeine makes you feel on anxious and normal days and take note for future use. Thing three, get off social media and your phone. That chronic pull to check social media, the news, etc., is telling me that I'm trying to run, distract, and hide. I need to face the anxiety. Action for you. When you're feeling anxious, what ways do you run away? See if you can stay with the feels. Tip four, emotional sift. This is a phrase I use to describe getting to the bottom of what's really going on. We don't need to do this when things are wrong. In fact, I suggest doing it when things are right. But after a weekend, I have some emotional things to unpack. So at some point, I need to sit down, get quiet, grab a journal, and let it out. Action for you. Grab a journal. Let a brain dump ensue. Just write. Don't hold back. Don't judge. And don't worry about anyone ever seeing it. In fact, crumble it up and throw it out after if you wish. Thing five, breathe. The first thing we do is stop breathing when we're stressed. In the labor class that I'm taking and practicing, one of the skills we learn is balloon breathing, and anyone can do it. So action for you. Breathe in through your nose and let your belly expand as if a balloon is inside. Exhale and imagine the balloon deflating as air leaves through your nose. Thing six, nature. Get out there if you can. Feel the bare grass. Smell the flowers. Walk without headphones. Nature is my greatest healer, and yet it is so forgotten when I get caught up in all the busyness. Action for you. Pick 5 minutes in any one thing that you can do to ground yourself. Now, having spent the first half of Monday working through most of these suggestions, I can tell you that my Anne is still here and I'm not at full peace. But that is perfectly okay. I continue to hone and practice these self-care methods, even though they don't cure me forever. I don't do these things for the result. I do them because learning how to react differently to our feelings, not cure them, is what true wellness is about. All right, so that concludes Lisa's newsletter there. And I just thought it might be helpful for any of you that maybe woke up with some Anne Z this week, as Lisa likes to call anxiety, Anne Z. I like that. And speaking of Anne, this is someone's real name, and I thought I would just throw out there, since I co-host Outweigh with Lisa, our latest episode, we had a guest story featuring an Outweigh listener named Anne, and the episode is titled, All I Ever Cared About Was Weight, and Anne has been dieting since she was 8 years old, and in this episode, she opens up about how dieting impacted her self-esteem, led to binge eating, and her constant quest to lose weight. She also shares how a doctor-created diet plan was the worst thing that she ever did and how she broke free from diet culture. So if you would like to listen to Anne's story, I highly encourage you to go over to the Outweigh podcast. Once you're done listening to this or you've got some other free time and you listen to Anne's story, I think that you'll enjoy it. And then, of course, you can subscribe to Outweigh, and every Saturday, a new episode will load up into your feed. And we keep them short. They're about 30 minutes or less, but it could be that dose of encouragement or support that you need if you're trying to also recover from any disordered eating or an eating disorder. So that's Outweigh. And then Lisa's podcast, again, is called The Truthiest Life. And then her Instagram is at Lisa Haim, which is LisaHaym, if you want to give her a follow. Second thing. Okay, so apparently making a to-do list before bed might help you fall asleep. I saw this article and I thought it was worth sharing because, hey, we're always looking for different ways to help get a good night's rest. And here's the story. It's from Best Life Online. And it says, lots of us watch TV before bed, but research shows that our late night television viewing can keep us from getting to sleep because it stimulates the brain when we should be winding down. So if you can't tear yourself away from Netflix at night, there is something you can do afterwards that may help you drift off more easily. A new study finds that jotting down your to-do list can actually help you fall asleep. Researchers suggest that rather than engaging in a, quote, demanding activity or something that would disrupt sleeping, like watching TV, listening to music, or playing video games, that maybe we should spend 5 to 10 minutes writing out a to-do list on paper. Engaging our brains with that can make sleep easier. The authors of the study said, fully focusing on a task, problem, or activity helps to distract the brain and helps us get to sleep. Previous research backs this up, with one study finding that spending 5 minutes to write down upcoming tasks before going to bed helps offload the worried thoughts that tend to keep us up at night. Not only did it help people fall asleep faster, but the study found that the more specific people were with their to-do list, the faster they fell asleep. So I guess, yeah, if you are going to bed with like worried about different things that you have to do, if you lay it all out, then yeah, maybe it'll make you feel better and you rest easier. So speaking of articles and sleeping at night, I did see one other thing that I wanted to share with y'all, because we do talk about cold showers here on the podcast because I'm a big fan of them. Not everybody is, and not everybody feels the same way about them, but I personally feel better when I take them. But I did see an article saying that we should actually avoid taking super hot or super cold showers before bed. Apparently, we should be just taking warm showers 1 to 2 hours before going to bed because it helps your body cool off, since it will warm your limbs and then cool off the central parts of your body. Cooling down your body will help you fall asleep faster, but it doesn't get you too cold that it perks you up and wakes you up. And then it also went into which is better, a night shower or a morning shower, and experts agree that it's really a matter of preference. So there you go. While a night shower may help you fall asleep, for others, a morning shower is preferable because it helps wake them up. And that's where I've come into the mix. I love a freezing cold shower right when I wake up because, I don't know, it just gets my day started. But if you're wanting to take a cold shower or maybe a super hot one, maybe you go for just the warm one if you're doing it before bed. But that's just a random article that I read. Just try out what works for you. I am going to maybe try the to-do list. I've been doing my gratitude journal at night, and then I want to maybe jot down or take a look at my calendar, but then that would be on my phone. And then you're not supposed to be on electronics, which is difficult. So maybe I'll just kind of try to remember my calendar so I don't have to look at my phone. And then, I mean, there's honestly just too much stuff to keep up with. And I, to be quite honest, am a fan of watching shows before bed. And maybe I need to stop and do more reading or something. But I'm obsessed. And now that Ted Lasso's back, I want to watch that. Although it's a bummer because it only comes out every Friday. There's a new episode, so can't really binge it right now. But I have been enjoying Melrose Place, which is completely different from Ted Lasso. But just letting you know that Ted Lasso's back in case you missed it. And if you haven't watched the first season, then yay, lucky you, you get to go binge that and watch them all and then get started with the second season. Okay, I got four things to recommend to you in case you want to check them out. I had posted some Instagram stories last week where I was wearing these cheetah print like workout shorts, and I got so many DMs. I think I was actually trying to talk about something that we were doing with Espoir, or I had on maybe a Four Things TV t-shirt. I think I was wearing the That's What She Said from The Office. And I obviously am like, oh yeah, look at this Espoir Four Things. Go check it out. But all anybody wanted to know about was where my cheetah leopard shorts were from. Mary and I were like on a walk and I was wearing them. And so I thought I would let y'all know they are Outdoor Voices. They are the Relay 3-inch short, and I got them in leopard print, but I'm probably going to order other colors because I really am obsessed with them and I want to wear them all the time. The next thing I want to recommend has to do with shaving your face. Now, I've mentioned it many, many times, like I love shaving my face, been doing it for years now, and I used to highly recommend the Tinkle razors, which I still like those if that's your preferred tool to use, but something I've been using lately and I still get questions about, so just want to clarify here, is the Gillette disposable razor, but you can't get the type with the extra little moisture strip. That breaks my face out for some reason. You just have to get the regular disposable razors. They're called Gillette Good News Sensor 2. No moisture strip. They're blue and you can just use them a few times and then throw them away. And you can buy like a pack of 12. I've added them to my Amazon page so you know exactly which ones to get, but you can get access to my Amazon favorite things at radioamy.com. And the next two things I'm going to recommend are also on my Amazon page if you want them, but the Go Macro Mini Bar, the oatmeal chocolate chip one, it's called Heartwarming Retreat. And that is definitely my go-to, or one of my go-to snacks right now. I always have them on me, and they're mini, so they're perfect. And actually, this flavor, the mini ones taste better. Sometimes I eat a full-size macro bar, but something about the way they make this or do whatever they do to it, the mini ones just taste better than the big ones. So I highly recommend that. And then lastly, the fourth thing I'm going to recommend if you have a cat is the cat backpack that we use to bring the cat home from California. It's by Pet Kit, and it could be for cats, kittens, or small dogs if you want, but there's a built-in little fan and light situation, and it's really comfortable to carry for yourself, and it just looks super cute. It kind of looks like this little cat spaceship pod thing, but my daughter loved it. I love it, and we'll be using it a lot to take our cat places if we need to. So just wanted to let y'all know specifically what that was, because that's another thing that I got tons of questions on. So maybe just keep that in mind if you have a cat or you might be getting a cat. It's something super cute, or a small dog could fit in there as well. Four things with Amy Brown. Okay, parents, listen up. There is an account you need to be following on Instagram if you're not already, and it's Dr. Becky. Maybe if you're not a parent and you're just around kids, or you've got nieces and nephews, like it's just a good account to follow. She's Dr. Becky Kennedy, and her handle is Becky at Good Inside. So that's who you need to be following. And she put up a tip the other day for manners. And I thought it was kind of genius because normally, or in the past, until I saw this tip, I had been like, okay, what do you say if my kid forgot to use their manners? Like, I'm like, oh, you know, what do you say after this? And that's just like our typical go-to response. But she says that we need to make it playful. Like if your child forgets to say thank you, don't call them out on it. You actually, you know, get playful with it. And I'm going to play the audio because she explains it better than I do. So here's the tip that Dr. Becky put up on Instagram.
The next time your child forgets to say please or thank you, instead of forcing them to say those words or getting into a power struggle, add playfulness and trust that this will help the next time. Oh no, those pleases are lost again. Oh, are they under the table? They don't seem to be there. Are they over there in that bookshelf? Oh, they are. Oh, poof, got them back in your body. Glad they're there for the next time.
Okay, so I will say I've tested this out on both of my kids. Like with my son, it worked. He's younger, but my daughter, she's 14, and she thought this was like so ridiculous. But actually, I love the way it embarrasses her a little bit. And so I think in a weird way, it's also working on her because she doesn't want me to do the playful game with her ever. I've done it in public as well. Like we were shopping and I was like, oh, I got her something. And I was like, where did it go? You lost it. Where is it? Trying to, and then she's like, thank you, mom. Like she doesn't want me to do it. Like she finds it to be awkward. So I think she's going to remember her manners to avoid the awkwardness. Where I really feel like if you have like a young child, like a toddler or someone, like my son is 10, but someone like a child that's like super young, even though it worked on my son as well, it'll definitely work and they won't really get embarrassed. It's just more fun way for them to remember their manners instead of like feeling like any type of shame or anything. So I like the idea of being playful. That's something that we're working on in our house too, is just keeping things light and playful and looking for those teachable moments, but not like trying to call our kids out on certain things and make them feel like they've done something wrong. Like we have a duty as parents to help our kids learn, but I feel like if we're constantly like harping on them, it's really hard to do that. And then, yeah, just keeping it playful and remaining curious, like asking lots of questions and staying engaged in that way. Curiosity has been huge for us. So I'll just leave that right here for you in case you happen to be a parent and you need more parenting advice, then I highly recommend following Dr. Becky Kennedy. Again, her handle is Dr. Becky at Good Inside, and her website is goodinside.com.